Air, food, and water are essential for physical life. In our spiritual life, prayer is essential to the soul.
That's why we're taking time out for a special season of prayer this morning. Tag along.
Good morning, friends. You know, winter is in full force, and we are excited.
Yes.
You know, winter is the perfect time to slow down and spend that extra time with loved ones.
And it's also the perfect time for spending some time doing something you really enjoy, like knitting, trying new recipes, hiking in the snow or wherever you live, catching up on projects around the house, and even reading.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about reading, you know, I want to recommend one of my favorite books. It's called The Desire of Ages. It was written by Ellen G. White. You know, it's an incredible book on the life of Christ, mm-hmm. his entire life, and it gives wonderful insights on his life here on earth. Such a blessing, and we highly recommend it for your winter reading collection. And now let's begin our program with a segment that we like to call This Day in History.
On this day in history, in 1865, Union General William T. Sherman's army was reined in at Savannah, Georgia, as it waited to begin marching into the Carolinas. The downpour lasted 10 days, and it was the heaviest rain the area had seen in 20 years. Sherman and his army had just marched across Georgia and destroyed nearly everything in their path. They tore up railroads, burned grain stores, carried away livestock, and left plantations in ruins. The Yankees captured the port city of Savannah just before Christmas, and Sherman paused for 3 weeks to rest and resupply his troops. They were headed to the Carolinas to deliver the same brutal treatment as they had in Georgia. Though the rain made conditions difficult, Sherman believed that the march was possible and his army was ready to continue its assault on the Confederacy. Sherman wrote to his wife that he never saw a more confident army. "The soldiers think I know everything and that they can do anything," he said. When the army finally did move, it conducted a campaign against South Carolina that was worse than the one against Georgia.
Well, what a powerful lesson on what we can accomplish if we pressed forward, trusting in the Lord in spite of the difficult and seemingly impossible circumstances.
That's right. We have to remember those lessons and take them to heart. At the midnight cry, Jesus will come. Let's meditate on this thought as we hear Mary Lou Inc. sing Midnight Cry.
The sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. I look around me I see prophecies fulfilling, and the signs of the times, well, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get your children." And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ shall rise. When Jesus steps out on that cloud to call his children, Jesus comes again.
Well, we hope you are gearing up for prayer, because right after this short break, we will be welcoming the Let's Pray team.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
And we'll be right back after this short break. Would you like to have increased spiritual strength? We've got just what you need, prayer. The sure result of fellowship with our Lord will be an increase in piety, purity, and fervor. Prayer also helps give us a clear perception of truth and God's will for our life. As we pray together this morning, we encourage you to also commit to spend more time with God in solitary prayer.
And now let's join the Let's Pray team in prayer.
Well, dear friends, I hope that you are waking up with hope. But I will tell you this, I know, friends, that we're living in a time in Earth's history and in a society where it's difficult to wake up with hope. And the reason it's so difficult is there is turmoil all over the world. We have a good friend on Let's Pray that writes in frequently. Her name is Fatima. And Fatima is very concerned about how the elections went in Brazil. And there are quite a few problems happening there in Brazil with people protesting. We continue to see bombs being dropped in Ukraine. And then here in the U.S., we've just concluded an election cycle that seems to have just polarized the nation more and more. And so it seems like when we watch the news, it's bad news after bad news after bad news. And so I'm happy that you can wake up with hope and get hopeful news in the morning. And I'm thankful that you can end the day with prayer. So I want to encourage you to join us on Let's Pray from 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday. My name is Chris Holland, and I have the privilege of co-hosting the program with Susan Cromwell. And we love interacting with our global family who live by the model, Let's Pray is the place where you never have to pray alone. So I want to invite you to join with us. because we pray about a lot of these things, but I want to pray about something right now. You know, we see all of these tumultuous things happening, and we should not be surprised. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." God, let us know that we would live in the times that we're not living. And in fact, God has warned us in Matthew 24, 12, that we're going to come to a place where it says there in Matthew 24, 12, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." I think we've come to that time where people are losing their ability to love. And so we need to pray. So if you're in distress, friend, if you're wondering what's going to happen, I want to encourage you first. We're going to pray that God would be with you and comfort you during these times. Second, I want to encourage you to go to hope.study and take one of our courses that talks about prophecy and end time events. Because the one thing that you need to know today, God wins. So stick with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we come to you and we praise you that according to the Bible, you raise up kings and you bring them down. According to the Bible, you are sovereign. According to the Bible, Lord, you are God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings. And so, Lord, you've instructed us that we need to fear not, and we're thankful that we don't need to be afraid. We confess, Lord, and ask that you forgive us for those times when we are fearful. And Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're there with us. And so right now I want to pray for everyone hearing this prayer right now, that they would experience your comfort in this time, that they would know your kingship in this time, they would know you have the whole world in your hand, and that, Lord, you will see them through as they stay attached to you. We're thankful for the comfort that you can bring in these times. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear friend, God bless you. And I want to give it back to you guys in the studios.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, prayer is the breath of the soul. Coming up next, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share an inspiring devotional message. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We're happy you're here today.
It's now time for our devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
We continue with our series on David's life after God's heart. We have entitled it. And today we are going to talk about a very known passage that David wrote, as a matter of fact, a psalm. You know, I got really close to my father because he was whispering. He was in his deathbed, and I got really close and I could hear the whisper, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he went on from beginning to end, the whole psalm. He didn't have strength to say it out loud. He was whispering it, but he remembered all the words. And he passed away a few hours after that. What is it about this psalm that helps us in moments of difficulty, loneliness, anxiety, sickness? A few days after we had his memorial service, and I preached for that memorial service, and I entitled it "Rest Assured." Put a big sign on the cross that was on the platform of the church, and this was the title of the homily. The whole homily was about Psalm 23 because I found some insights in this psalm that helped me mourn both of my parents that I lost in such a short time. There's a lot of things in this psalm that remind us why is it that we feel so nurtured when we think that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. So we're going to go there today. And before we start, I want to tell you a little bit about sheep. You know, David had been a shepherd, so he knew exactly how sheep were dependent on the shepherd. And God took him from being a shepherd of sheep to being a shepherd of God's people as a king of Israel. But he knew a lot of things about sheep, and he places himself as God's sheep. And I found out a few things about sheep that I didn't know before. For example, that they need to drink water in still waters, because if not, the wool absorbs the water and they get heavy and they drown. I also found out that sheep get stressed out when there's tension in the flock or there's mosquitoes. They can't sleep. They have insomnia like us. And so I am in our book, page 63. Over the years, I have collected some information about sheep because they are a commonly used scriptural metaphor for describing the people of God. We're called the sheep all the time in the Bible. In doing so, I have learned that in general, sheep are very helpless animals. They can't find food or water by themselves. They need constant protection from predators. They would easily drown if they tried to drink in deep water, and they can't rest if there are problems like tensions in the flock or bugs that bother them. Sheep are absolutely and completely dependent on the shepherd to provide everything for them, including a peaceful and quiet place, green pastures, restful waters, and everything else. The sheep don't know where they are or where they're going. They just need to follow their shepherd. They sound just like us, doesn't it? And David himself, a shepherd, proclaims that the Lord is his shepherd, and his own survival depends on the presence of his shepherd. So let's study this psalm, and hopefully it will bring you nurturing today. Psalm 23 starts with a very interesting word. Yahweh is my shepherd. Not just any name for God. David could have used any name. He uses the name that God revealed to Moses, the great I am. That's the name. Yahweh is my shepherd, says the Hebrew. And therefore I shall not want. And then he goes on to say how God fulfills all of our needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Remember that the sheep cannot find the still waters by themselves. They don't have that instinct. They don't find the food by themselves. And they can't rest by themselves when they are in tension. So he does all of this for them. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he restores my soul. He doesn't just give me all the things I need for eating and drinking and resting. He also gives me restoration. You know, shepherds used to carry an oil that they would put in the wounds of the sheep. Yahweh, the great I am, who opened the Red Sea, who rained bread from heaven for the Israelites, who got water out of a rock, is the one who restores my soul. This is the great I am. And he also guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because I'm his sheep, and it's his name on the line. It's interesting because until this point, David talks about Yahweh, the great I am, as the shepherd in third person. He does this for me. He does that for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a report about his shepherd. But when he imagines himself in difficulty, in a crisis, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He switches from the third person to the second person singular and starts talking to God. His report becomes a prayer, because crisis does that. Crisis makes us go from talking about God to talking to God, because that's all we have at that moment. The only antidote to fear is you are with me, the presence of the shepherd with us. And then once he realizes that God is with him in the crisis, he starts seeing visualizations of abundance. You prepare a table for me before my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And I got to tell you about this. Lately, some scholars have found out what this means. There was a custom at the time that if a sovereign lord or a king invited somebody to dine with them, they would always kept the cup full, which meant you're welcome to stay. But if at some point the cup got empty, it was time to go. But some kings and sovereigns sovereign lords, when they really liked a guest, they made the cup overflows all over the table so the guests would know that they were so welcome in their presence. And David says, I am so welcome in his presence that my cup overflows. And then he says, surely I have two companions, goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me. And the Hebrew is much stronger than follow, is will pursue me, will chase after me all the days of my life. You have two companions, and so do your children and your grandchildren. If they have taken a dark detour, here come the two goodness and mercy companions. Taran, taran, taran. I imagine them on horses, looking for people, pursuing them, chasing after them to bring them back. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever, because Yahweh is my shepherd. Well, you know, this is the context for what Jesus said in John 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. And how will you know that he's the good one? Well, chapter 10, verse 11 of John says, the Greek says, I am the shepherd, the good one. And the shepherd, the good one, lays down his life for the sheep. Sometimes you want to understand what God allows in your life. But when you look at the cross, that he laid down his life for you, that's when you will know that he's the shepherd, the good one. And not only that, it will give you assurance. Look at verse 28. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I love this visualization that I am a sheep in his arms, and he provides everything I need. He nurtures me, and I know he is the shepherd, the good one, because he died for me. But on top of that, nothing and nobody will be able to snatch me out of his hand. That's the assurance of salvation. I hope you appropriate this psalm for you today, for yourself. In moments of difficulty, remember you have a shepherd.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for those encouraging words.
Amen. We were blessed as we spent time together this morning. And if you would like to learn more about our program or share with a friend or even watch some part of today's program again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we want to remind you that you can wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will have music by Gisela Kroll, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw, and a special health feature from Live It in the Kitchen from Loma Linda. We can't wait to see you there. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study for your very own free Bible study guides. And by the way, check out the website. We are sure you'll be blessed. Well, we have to go now for today, but before we go, we want to share with you today's Bible promise. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7.
It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Amen. You know, in Jesus, there is redemption. Friends, what a privilege it has been to spend this time with you. We hope that you'll have a beautiful day and that you will take these reminders throughout your entire day as you walk with the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we are so thankful that we had this experience to share together. Thank you so much, Lord. We heard the songs that we needed to hear. We heard a message that we needed for today. And you're so good, Lord. And we ask that as we go throughout this day, that we would not forget those things that you shared with us today. May we always remember them, because we know that at any moment throughout the day, your word will speak to our hearts and our strength will be renewed. So thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.